Anybody in here that's never had a dream? So you all dream. What do you do when you dream? Where do you go? People ask me over and over again, well, where do you think you go when you die? I say, where do you go when you go to sleep? Where do you go? Why do you have to have a place? Because you can only think linear. You can only think form. And that's what a place is, isn't it? Try to imagine yourself as a multidimensional human being. Multidimensional. And that one of the dimensions you experience is form. And that there are many other dimensions to you as well. And that thought is one of them. Just try to imagine that. And if you can't do it, if it's too booga-booga, metaphysical, philosophical, tough for you to get a hold of, let me help you to see that you do it one-third of your life when you're sleeping. A third of your life you spend sleeping, one-third, since you got here. And when you go to sleep, what do? You leave your form. And you live in a different set of rules altogether. You live, you experience in a different set of rules. Let me tell you how the rules are different when you're asleep and in non-form than when you're in form. There's no beginning and there's no end. There's no cause and there's no effect. There's no time. There's no life. There's no death. Is there anybody in the room who has ever had the experience of being with somebody who's been dead while you're asleep? Your grandmother, your great-grandmother, whatever. She's there. She's there for you. How many of you have ever had the experience of being younger than you are? Like you're 18, you're back, you're 18 again. And you're there. And you look like you're 18. Don't you? I mean, I have this horrible dream. I'm in the Navy. Back in the Navy. 4 years. It's September the 4th. It's 1962. And they forgot my discharge date. They just forgot. And I can't get anybody to acknowledge that I've now done my 4 years. And it's time for me to be out now. I got to go home. I got to go to college. I got to get married. I got to get on with my life. And everybody's going, well, I don't see any. I can't find your records. Sometimes I'm giving a speech, and I don't have any clothes on. It happens to me a lot. I suggest to you that when you are in this dimension called dreaming, that the rules are very different. And the reason that you dream is to teach you that every obstacle you run into is an opportunity. That's one of the things you learn. And get this, everything that you need in your dream, you create. Whatever you need for the dream. Whatever you need. You're driving along freeway. You're just driving along, right? And all of a sudden, the road ends, and there's a cliff. Yeah, a cliff! So what do you do with that? You just sprout some wings somehow. You just sort of, sure, I think I'll just fly tonight. And you fly, don't you? You just fly right over. You don't die. You never die in your dream. You create out of that obstacle whatever you need for the dream. Don't you? If you are underwater and you have to stay there for an hour, that is no problem. It isn't. You just get some gills, you stay under there, and you just hide, and you wait. Don't you? One third of your life is spent in this state called thought, pure thought. And you are experiencing all of it. It's all there for you. You can have it all. You can do anything that you want. You create everything that you need. And yet the rules are very different. Very, very different indeed. And you don't wake up and go, oh my God, you just see that you're now in a different dimension. You don't say, oh, I didn't have a body. Oh, my God, that was an illusion. Because somebody's coming at you with a knife in a dream, and you wake up, and your heart is really pumping. And so the reaction to it is real. But you look back and say, that's an illusion. There was nobody. There was no knife. Where's the knife?
This whole business about dreaming is really, really interesting to me. Because it's the only way that we can get a handle on another level of consciousness. Because we do enter a new realm. We do go to sleep at night. Everybody has the experience of this, and we all dream. And when we dream, we live in another world, and that world is a world of pure thought, even though the experience of what we're dreaming manifests itself in our bodies. One of the most interesting phenomena that a human being goes through, to me, is what is called politely a nocturnal emission, which is really a wet dream. That phenomenon is really interesting to me because most of the time you think, well, in order to have a sexual experience, you need to have some kind of contact with form. I mean, this is a form thing. But like when you're asleep and you have this experience, man has this experience, it's like that's done purely through thought. Thought now creates in form the opportunity for life. And life can literally be created through thought, which is what is happening when two people who love each other or who don't love each other, two people are having a sexual encounter. That still is thought. I mean, the largest sex organ that we have is our brain, okay? It's all done through thought. And if you can't think it and you can't get the image, then you can't make it happen. So that the dance of life is possible just through thought and nothing more. And that makes me think that the stuff of life is thought. Now, there's different levels of consciousness that we have. I like to think of it as a stepladder. It's one of those stepladders that has only three steps on it. The bottom level, the bottom rung of the ladder, is dreaming consciousness. And then the next rung of the ladder up is your waking consciousness. And then the next rung of the ladder is a question mark. That's just another level of consciousness beyond the waking consciousness. So we got dream consciousness, one step up, waking consciousness, which is what we go through all the time, and you and I are doing right now. And then we got this other level of consciousness that goes beyond this waking consciousness. We'll just call it a question mark for now. Now, in the bottom level, in the lowest rung of the ladder, you're dreaming. I had like really bizarre experiences of dreaming because I could be dreaming and somebody could come and talk to me while I was dreaming. My brothers used to do this to me. And they'd get my mother over there and they'd get family over there and they'd say, look at this guy. My oldest brother would be talking to me. And one time he gave me a sheet and he said, here, this is your shirt. Now you're going to school, Wayne. Now come on, get your shirt on. And I had this sheet and I'm trying to get my arm into this sheet, but there's no armhole in the sheet. All right? And I got this crazy thing going. And he's saying to my mother, look at this guy. I mean, he just thinks he's getting dressed. There was another time when I was dreaming about shoveling snow. I said out loud, where's my shovel? Where's my shovel? Okay, I've got to do this out loud. But I was in the dream, all right? I'm in a different level of consciousness. So the dream is real for me. Remember, the only time you know you're dreaming is when you're awakened. So you have to awaken to know that what you were just doing was an illusion. So my brother would say to me, here's your shovel, Wayne. Here, take the shovel. And I would then take the shovel. He was on the second rung. He was in waking consciousness, talking to me in dream consciousness. And he would join me and cooperate with me in that. Now, as long as he would do that, as long as he would cooperate with me and pretend to be with me in the dream, then I would cooperate and stay with that. But if he were to say to me, now, Wayne, you're crazy, you're dreaming, this isn't, just wake up, or this is stupid, or whatever, I would either go deeper into my unconsciousness, or I would come out of it and wake up, and then I would realize there was no shovel. And that's what happened eventually. I just woke up, and I said, where's my shovel? And then Jim said, you're awake, and I said, oh, there's no shovel, okay? But I had the experience of having the shovel. Now, that's the difference between the dream consciousness level and the waking consciousness level. What I suggest, just as something to think about, is that in order to go from one level of consciousness to another level, you have to have somebody who's at that level of consciousness go down there with you and pretend to be with you. And I suggest that now we go to the third rung, which has the question mark. And what is that level of consciousness, and how is it different? That if somebody from that level of consciousness were wanting to convince us or have us know what it's possible for us at a higher level than we're living right now, then they would have to pretend to be among us, wouldn't they? In order for us to, just like from the waking consciousness to the dream consciousness. And that person would come disguised and would pretend to be with us in the dream. That's what I think highly spiritual people are. They see the illusion. They know that the experience of the illusion is real, but they still see that it can't be. You can't own anything, you can't have it, you can't get a hold of it. It's possible they could come disguised as a carpenter, you know, which a lot of people say Jesus Christ was, someone from another level of consciousness who was coming here, pretending to walk among us, and showing us that we don't have to live this illusion, but is still there with us, but then leaves, and leaves to another dimension. And that Buddha, and many highly spiritual people right here, on this planet right now, who understand this higher level of consciousness, but sort of stay with us, and almost pretend and help us along through it, but are trying to get people to see, don't you see that there's a higher place you can get to? And that higher place isn't form. It's transformation. And when you get that, then you can go in and out of this next dimension, and then the next dimension, and the next dimension. And there are many, many, many dimensions. I mean, human beings are multidimensional people. And the shovel that was handed to me, which wasn't really real, when I look back on it, I said, oh, that's just an illusion. But my experience of it was very real. I suggest that when we die, when we leave our form, that we will also be able to look back and see the illusion of all of the stuff that we accumulate and we hold on to, all of our shovels, all of the money, all of the accumulations and all of that that we can't take with, and to see that we created everything that we needed in the level that we're at now. We create it all. Everything we need. If you need a partner that you need to fight with every day, then you bring that, you create that. If you need to have poverty for some reason in your life, just like in your dream, in the dream consciousness, everything you need for the dream, you create. Everything that you need. And the only way you verify that it's real is by having other people say, you know, I mean, how do you verify that anything is real? Well, you get 100 people together and you say, is that real or isn't that real? And eventually they all say, yes, that's real. But in the dream, you can get 100 people. You can call them all in and you can create everybody that you need. It's just speculation. It's metaphysical speculation. But for me, it becomes the essence of life. I know that there are higher dimensions than this waking consciousness level that we live in. I know that. And I know that I can come back here and live the illusion all the time and enjoy it all, enjoy the experience of it all, make it all work for me. And everything that I've got that is going on for me in my life, I create. I create whatever I need. If I need to have a house full of children, then I create that. If I need to have an experience of losing my keys, I take responsibility for it all. For everything that happens in my life, I create it all in order to make the dream work, in order to make this level of consciousness work. But you will get yourself to a higher level when you'll look back on all of that and you'll say, well, what did I need that for? Now, my grandmother just died a few years ago. I just know that there's nothing that could have ever killed her. I just know that the essence of my grandmother couldn't have died. And that everything that she accumulated and needed and had to do in her 95 years while she was here, that she can now see from a different level of consciousness, was all an illusion. It was all just stuff that she was going through, that she was creating. And now you're in a different dimension and in another dimension. And it's all multidimensional. And how can anybody dispute that? How can it be disputed to me? It just seems so real. Now, how many have had this experience? And I want honest truth, show of hands, honest truth, okay? I don't care how old you are or how young you are, I want honest truth. How many have had this happen? You're in a dream. You're having a great dream. Great dream. Something from another dimension jolts you, wakes you up. A bell goes off, a door is slammed, the phone rings, whatever it may be, all right? And you sort of half wake up and come back into your form. You leave pure thought and all that great stuff that you can create. And you say to yourself, honest truth, I want to go right back to sleep so I can find out how this dream comes out. How many? Come on, come on, come on. I knew it. Everybody does that. Now, either what I've got to say has some validity here tonight, or we got a room full of really raging neurotics. How do you explain what you just acknowledged? How do you explain that? You're doing this a third of your life. Come on, folks. How do you explain that? If I were to say to you, I'm writing a book. It's a great book. It's a novel. Great novel. I can't wait and talk to you anymore. I want to get back to my typewriter so I can find out how it comes out. You'd say, who's writing the script? Who's doing it? I'd say, well, I am. It's my novel. Well, then, if you're writing it, you must know how it's going to come out. I mean, you must know, don't you? And I'd say, well, yeah, I guess I do know. I got it all outlined and I know how it's going to come out. So now, when you're doing that, I've got to go right back to sleep. I want to find out how that dream came out. It was so great. I was almost getting it. Almost. And you try to get back there. Who's writing the script if it's not you? Maybe you're not writing the script. Did it ever occur to you that you enter a new dimension which has different rules? No beginnings, no end, no cause, no effect, no time. In which you now are playing a new role. You enter a new dimension that's already been written. And you do it all the time. It's there for you. That wonderful dimension of thought. And that's only one. That's only one of potentially hundreds of dimensions that we can't even begin to comprehend because we're so stuck in what? Form. Did it ever occur to you that you are creating everything you need for this dream? And that when you leave your form, finally, this time around, when you leave it, don't you know that you're going to look back and you're going to see that all of the attachments that you have to all of the things are just as much of an illusion as the knife that the guy had in your other dream? You're going to react to it and it's real while you're experiencing it. But when you look at it,
From a transformed point of view, it doesn't exist. So you created everything you need for this dream, too. But you can't buy that because it's just too real. I mean, it's just because you're not awakened yet. And when you're awakened, you realize that it's all a dream and that you are something else. And so all of the roles that you play, you're just sort of like me. You're a rent-a-Wayne Dyer. You're a rent-a-Marjorie. You're a rent-a-Sally. You're a rent-a-George. And you have a lot of roles that you play. And you just play these roles. But when you get through the gate and get transformed, you know what's so great? You realize that those are just roles. Those are just illusions. And so it doesn't mean that you don't enjoy them. Why would you not enjoy your dream? You're creating it. But what you do is, if your dream isn't satisfying or fulfilling you, then you change to make it do that. And all you have to do is change your thought, because that's all you are. And so you watch yourself and you're like an actor. You're going through the motions. You're playing the game. And you say, geez, that was a funny thing I did this morning. I was really stupid. I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. And I walked over here and I went through a red light. And I don't know, that's part of the dream. And I did that and I got a ticket. And I got to go to court. That's part of it. And you stand back and you watch yourself do all of these things, knowing that your divineness is beyond that. It's beyond that. That this is who you really are. When you get that, then the rest of the dream becomes whatever you want it to be. Anything you want, you create now for the dream. And you do that through thought. Visualization, imagery, whatever you want to call it. And that is what you are. You're not this stuff over here. This stuff is all disintegrating.
Everything that's happening is supposed to be happening. And our desire to eradicate the things that we see as unpleasant is also part of that. And that's part of the paradox that you have to get at and understand. F. Scott Fitzgerald had a wonderful line. He said something like, it's a paraphrase, that the highest form of intelligence that you can get to is to have two contradicting concepts present in you at the very same time. That is, it is perfectly legitimate within the context of this perfect universe that everything is hopeless, and yet I can have hope at the same time. That there are people who are starving, and I can want to do something about it at the same time. And the reason that I believe that that is true, what he says, that that's the highest place you have to get to, is because each one of us is a paradox as well. I mean, we live with two different sets of rules, okay, which we talked about earlier. We live in form, which has its own rules, and we live in non-form, which has a whole other set of rules altogether. But yet we're all in this one package. But there's always this dualism. There's always the conflict. It's like the Earth is a dualism. Here's a magnet, okay? Here's a North Pole and here's a South Pole. Now, what I want you to do is go out and cut off the North Pole and bring me back just a South Pole so we can examine a South Pole. Tell all my students that. They think, well, how can you do that? How can you examine a South Pole on a magnet? Is it possible? Because the minute you cut off the North Pole, you just got a South Pole and another North Pole, only the North Pole is just a little closer than it was to the South Pole. So you cut it off again. You say, all right, I'll cut this one, and it's a little close. And that dualism is always there. You can never cut a magnet away so that you can examine a North Pole and a South Pole. You'll always have the dualism. Earth is like that. Earth has a North Pole and a South Pole. And no matter how much you try to slice, you're always going to have that. Human beings are the same way. We have an astral plane and a physical plane, and no matter how much you slice off part of it, you just get a little bit closer too. There's always the dualism that's there. What I'm talking about is that place in your waking consciousness that is similar to your dreaming consciousness, in which you have no limits. There's nothing to limit you. There's no time. There's no beginning. There's no end. There's no cause. There's no effect. There's no money. There's no stuff. It's just your thought. You are not just this body that you carry around. You're not these possessions. You're none of those. Those are all just sort of things that we have created because we need them for the dream. Just like when we're sleeping, things that we create, we need for the dream. Well, in this dream, the things that we need, we also create. But trouble is, we don't want to call it a dream because it's just so real. And yet we know that nothing dies. Nothing that has life in it, that has that perfection in it, dies. It's just in transition. And that you can't kill thought.
This is the end of side 4. Please fast forward the tape to cue up side 3 for your next listening.